بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الذي ليس لأوليته ابتداء ولا لأزليته انقضاء، وانحصرت الأوصاف عن كنه معرفته، وردعت عظمته العقول، والذي لا تواري عنه سماء سماء ولا أرض أرضا. ثم الصلاة والسلام والتحية والإكرام على سيد البتحاء سيد المرسلين والأنبياء أبي القاسم محمد المصطفى. وعلى الجوهرة القدسية البتول العذراء سيدة النساء فاطمة الزهراء، وعلى بعلها أمير المؤمنين، وبنيها الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد،
لا سيما على بقية الله وحجته الكبرى الذي بيمنه رزق الورى وبوجوده ثبتت الأرض والسماء، ولولاه لصاخت الأرض بأهلها، واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من حين عداوتهم إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتابه الكريم: محمد رسول الله، والذين آمنوا أشداء على الكفار رحماء بينهم. صلوات.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
The subject of tonight's speech is the concept of Rahmat and Islam, and the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is asking the believers and the people to have rahmat and mercy towards each other. And the religion Islam is a religion of rahmat and ra'fat. Although in Arabic language there's a difference between rahmat and ra'fat, Rahmat, we use in Arabic for the person who is ghairul mubtala, whereas the word rafat is used only in a place where the person is mubtala, he is affected by some calamity. That's where we use the word rafat in Arabic. So rahmat has a wider scope. It is used for the person who is affected and person who is non-affected, for both. And because of the concept of rahmat in Islam, we find everything in the world, everything in the universe is working fine because of the concept of the rahmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All the mercy that people are doing towards each other, or even the animals. We have so many of the animals who have mercy, you know, not only towards their own children, but also towards others. So all the rahmat that we find is because of the rahmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it is the responsibility of the believer. So we find, say, anyone who is feeding the hungry, anyone who is giving clothes to those who are mustahiq and they don't have the clothes to wear, anyone who is doing kifarat of the aitam, of the orphans, anyone who is helping a da'if and weak person, anyone who is helping out his parents, anyone who is doing shafaqat and mercy towards his father and mother, anyone who is reading Fatiha for his ancestors, anyone who is doing shafaqat and mercy towards the children, any form of rahmat that you find or ra'fat that you find is because of the rahmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the rahmat is 100 ajza, 100 juz of rahmat. So one juz and part of the rahmat of Allah He distributed in the entire world. Whatever rahmat that you find is that one juz of rahmat from Allah's, from the rahmat which is 100 parts. And 99 juz of rahmat, 99 parts of rahmat, Allah has saved for the day of judgment, for the day of judgment. So those who are the believers, Allah has rahmat towards them. The ummat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, which is the ummatul marhuma. And there's so much rahmat of Allah available on the day of judgment that the riwayat says even shaitan will end up having a hope on the day of judgment that he will be forgiven, although the rahmat will never reach him. So there's so much rahmat of Allah. 99 parts are on the day of judgment only. All the rahmat that you see is because of one juz from the 100 parts of rahmat. So it's unimaginable for us how much rahmat of Allah will be there on the day of judgment. We cannot imagine. Prophet has said in his hadith, Shafa'ati li ahlil kaba'ir min ummati. Isn't it right? My shafa'at is for those who are ahlil kaba'ir, means those who are doing the bigger sins. That doesn't mean that we should start doing the sins. A'udhu billah min dhalik. That's not the thing. But a mu'min has the khawf and raja equal in his qalb, like we already discussed in one of the previous lessons. So the followers of the Holy Prophet are mentioned in this ayat of Holy Quran from Surah Al-Fath, Muhammadur Rasulullah وَالَّذِينَ مَعَهُ أَشِدَّاءُ عَلَى الْكُفَّارِ رُحَمَاءُ بَيْنَهُمْ. That means Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam is messenger of Allah, and those along with him are Raheem towards each other. Rohama, they are merciful towards each other. Ashidda'u alal kuffar, Rohama. They are Shadeed towards the kuffar and Raheem towards each other. This is the policy defined by Quran. Our policy, how should we behave towards kufr and how should we behave towards iman? That's the policy in Quran. So, there is no room for a mu'min who believes in the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt to have an opposite policy that we are Raheem towards the enemies of Allah and Shadeed towards the mu'mineen. If somebody is Raheem towards the A'da of Ahlul Bayt and A'da of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he is Shadeed over the mu'mineen, that means this person, in the light of the teachings of Islam, we learn that this person is not with the on the sunnah and the path of Rasulullah, because that's not how he was. And that's not the sifat defined in Surah Al-Fath about the companions of the Prophet, those who are with the Prophet. So there's a hadith from Imam Al-Kadhim alayhi salatu wassalam. He says, مَا ظَنَّكَ بِالرَّؤُوفِ الرَّحِيمِ الَّذِي يَتَوَدَّدُ إِلَى مَنْ يُؤْذِيهِ بِأَوْلِيَائِهِ. How do you think, what's your dhan about the Ra'uf al-Rahim, that means about Allah, who is doing good and loving behavior towards those who are doing aziyat towards his beloved servants. So فَكَيْفَ مَنْ يُؤْذَى فِيهِ. How would be the situation for the one who are receiving the aziyat for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in other words. So anyone who is on the path of Allah and he's doing sadr over the masaib and adha and the tortures and the hardships, how much reward obviously he's going to get, how much Allah would be merciful towards him and loving towards him. In other words, yeah, that's what we learn in the light of the hadith. وَمَا ظَنُّكَ بِالتَّوَّابِ الرَّحِيمِ الَّذِي يَتُوبُ عَلَى مَنْ يُعَادِيهِ. What's your run and thought about that Allah who is Tawwab and Rahim, who accepts the Tawbah from the person who is opposing him, who is doing enmity towards Allah? And فَكَيْفَ بِمَنْ يَتَوَضَّاهُ وَيَخْتَارُ عَدَاوَةَ الْخَلْقِ فِيهِ. How would be the situation? That means how would be the, you know, Allah's turning towards the person who is basically giving in to the rida and pleasure of Allah and is choosing the adawat of the people for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I mean, he's tolerating that adawat and that enmity and opposition for the sake of Allah. How much would be Allah's, Allah turning towards him? In other words, so we find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is merciful, and we define the rahmat, obviously, rahmat of rahmaniyat and rahmat of rahimiyat. Rahmat of rahmaniyat is what the mufassirin say is ismun khas bi sifatin amma. It's ismun khas means a specific name of Allah. You cannot name your child as Rahman. That's not allowed in Islam. You can name your child as Abdul Rahman. Isn't it right? Because it's ismun khas. That's specific to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So bi sifatin amma means its application is all inclusive. So the rahmat of rahmaniyat includes even the muslimin and mu'mineen and kuffar and munafiqeen and mulhadeen and mushrikeen and zanadiq and so on and so forth, everyone. Even the enemies of Ahlul Bayt, they are receiving the hayat, the life. And that's another ni'mat of Allah, isn't it right? Their whole existence and wujud, they are surviving. So all those ni'mats which they are receiving in their hayat, they are not receiving it from anyone other than Allah. Isn't it right? We have only one Lord. They are not receiving from anyone else. So Allah's rahmat of rahmaniyat provides the ni'mat for even the enemies. And the rahmat of rahimiyat is the rahmat which is ismun khas bi sifatin, ismun aam bi sifatin khasa. It's a general name. You can name your children to be rahim as well. It's a general name. But sifatin khasa means it's only for the for his mu'mineen. So Allah is merciful, but there's a difference in his two types of mercies, rahmat of rahmaniyat and rahmat of rahimiyat. And also, when we look at the teachings of Islam and Quran and Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam, we find there are several reasons that we find, we discover in the light of the teachings of Quran and Ahlul Bayt, there are several reasons why, how we can achieve the rahmat of Allah. First reason how we can achieve rahmat from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is his ita'at. If we obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we become ahl of receiving his rahmat. The whole Quran says, وَأَقِيمُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَآتُوا الزَّكَاةَ وَأَطِيعُوا الرَّسُولَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ. And install the prayers and give the zakat and obey the messenger, maybe you are subjected to the rahmat. So if we do the salat, if we install the prayers, if we give the zakat, and if we do ita'at and obedience of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, these are the reasons how we can get the rahmat from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inshaAllah. So the first reason how we attract rahmat from Allah is his ita'at and obedience. The second reason how we get the rahmat from Allah is the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. as much as we perform Allah's remembrance, we have His remembrance, which obviously we talked about zikr so much already in previous speeches. Zikrun lisani, zikrun amali, then right, zikrun qalbi, which is the real zikr is in the qalb of Allah, the fear and khushu in the qalb, which causes zikrun amali, a person to practically remember Allah and His behavior. So because of the zikr, we achieve the rahmat. The hadith from Amir al-Mu'mineen wa Imam al-Muttaqeen Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salatu wa salam says, بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ تَسْتَنْزِلُ الرَّحْمَةِ. That means through the zikr of Allah, you get down and the rahmat, you achieve the rahmat, in other words. So we should remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala if we want to receive His rahmat. The third reason how we get rahmat from Allah is giving rahmat to others. This is a very important concept, that we should have mercy towards others if we want to get the rahmat from Allah. Now, having mercy on others is the hadith says that rahmatul du'afa tastanzilur rahma. Having rahmat over the weak people brings down the rahmat. You bring down the rahmat through that, in other words. أَبْلَغُمَا تَسْتَدَرُّ بِهِ الرَّحْمَةِ أَنْ تُضْمِرْ لَجَمِيعَ النَّاسِ الرَّحْمَةِ. The fastest, the effective way of bringing the rahmat is to have rahmat in you towards all the people. So Islam is basically asking us to have rahmat towards others, and that's how we get the rahmat for our own selves. In the hadith of the Holy Prophet, he says, "Ar-Rahimuna yarhamuhumur Rahmanu yawm al-qiyamah." That means those people who are rahimun, doing mercy, if we do mercy on others, they are the ones who are going to get the rahmat from Allah on the Day of Judgment. And then the Prophet said, اِرْحَمْ مَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ يَرْحَمُكَ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاءِ. You do rahmat on those on earth, those in the heaven, sama, those in the heaven will have mercy on you. One person comes to the Prophet and says, اُحِبُّ أَنْ يَرْحَمَنِي رَبِّي. I love that Allah has mercy over me. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replies back to him, Irham nafsaka. Have mercy on your own self. Well, how do we have mercy on ourselves? Having mercy on ourselves is avoiding the harams in our life. That's the way we have mercy on our own self. Warham khalqallah. So Irham nafsaka, have mercy on yourself. Have mercy on the creatures of Allah. Khalqallah. Khalq is not only in Arabic, literally speaking, not only for the humans, it's all the creatures around us. One of the teachers of the Hausa was telling this story that one person died and his friend saw him in the dream in Barzakh, that what is your situation? And he said, well, my ibadat were not valuable, but I did save an animal. There was an animal drowning in the river, in the water, and I saved that animal from drowning. So this is something in Islam, we have adab and ahkam related to the animals. How to keep, you know, Sahib al-Jawahir, Sheikh Hassan al-Najafi rahmatullah alayh, who wrote the biggest book of our fiqh, Jawahir al-Kalam, 56 volumes. Is that right? Encyclopedia of fiqh. And one volume is about the, I think it's volume 46 or what, I don't exactly remember, but I think it's 46 or 47, where he talks about the rulings that Islam has to say about how to take care of the animals, the pets. So we have great detailed rulings about that, and this is also sawab in Islam. It's not even allowed to kill an animal, you know, without a justifiable reason. In Islamic Sharia, it is allowed to kill an animal for two reasons. A, if the animal is halal and you want to eat it. B, if you are under threat, you want to protect yourself from the danger of the animal. There are only two reasons. There is no fun fishing idea in Islam. Just go for fun and you catch a fish and just you leave it like that and you make it injured. Fish is bleeding, isn't it right? Just for your fun. So we don't harm the animals in any which possible way, just for the sake of fun and hunting, for the sake of hunting. So we don't do that. There is no fun hunting in Islamic law. We have a very high standards of morality. So irham khalqallah yarhamukallah. So Prophet said to him, you do rahmat over your own self, rahmat on creatures of Allah, Allah will do rahmat on you. This is from Kanzul Ammar. Now there is a story that according to this that narration, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw a deer. And this female deer was tied up with the rope of a khaymah, and the deer talked. Prophet speaks all the languages of all the humans and all the animals, isn't it right? So this deer talked to the Prophet and said that she has to feed her babies. So the Prophet allows him to go. Obviously it's not, it's owned by someone else. So the riwayat says the Prophet untied, Prophet let the deer go and it fed its babies, and after feeding the babies it comes back and it is again tied up in the same place. Now Prophet inquires about who is the owner of that, and he was told that this is belong to such and such person. Prophet goes to that person and asks him to how much would be the cost if he sells it. Prophet wants to buy it from him. This person said, well, for your sake, I don't sell it. I'm going to set this animal free. So he sets the animal free. And obviously at the time when he set it free, now the narration says that the Prophet had said, at that time, قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ وَسَلَّمُ. And this is narrated in Amali, Kitab al-Amali of Shaykh al-Tusi rahmatullah alayhi. That Prophet said, لَوْ أَنَّ الْبَهَائِمَ يَعْلَمْنَا مِنَ الْمَوْتِ مَا تَعْلَمُونَ. If the animals knew about death what you know, مَا تَعْلَمُونَ أَنْتُمْ مَا أَكَلْتُمْ مِنْهَا سَمِينًا. You won't eat from them any, sameen or fat or healthy animal. So basically, we need to keep in mind, in Islam we have also principle, you cannot hunt and kill a mother, isn't it right, which has babies, or a mother which is pregnant, a sheep which is pregnant with its babies. That's not killed, that's not slaughtered in Islam. These are basic adab of zibh in Islam, which some people everyone need to remember. So doing rahmat on others is one of the best ways to attract the rahmat. And the fourth reason how we attract the rahmat is istighfar. We are counting the reasons how the believers can attract rahmat from Allah. The reason number four is istighfar. Quran says, وَلَوْلَا تَسْتَغْفِرُونَ اللَّهَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ. So why don't you do the istighfar? Maybe you get the rahmat. So istighfar is one of those things that earns us the rahmat, inshallah, from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, basically, kifalatul awtam, having the sponsoring a yatim person, is one of the best ways how we are doing rahmat on others, and remembering our responsibility towards them. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had said that ya ali man kafa yatiman fi nafaqatihi bimalihi hatta yastaghniya wajabat lahu aljannah. Whoever, you know, gives a yatim person what suffices for his nafaqa, his expenses, until he doesn't need any further, Jannat is wajib for him. Ya Ali man masaha yadahu ala ra's al yatim tarahhuman lahu a'tahu Allah bi kulli sha'ratin nuran yawm al qiyamah. Whoever rubs his hand on the head of an orphan yatim child, every hair of the child which passes under your hand, Allah provides one nur on the day of judgment. Also in some other narration it says وَوَضَعَ يَدَهُ عَلَىٰ رَأْسِهِ إِلَّا كَتَبَ اللَّهُ لَهُ بِكُلِّ شَعْرَةٍ حَسَنًا. And when a person rubs his hand over the head of an orphan, for every hair of the orphan that crosses under the hand, for every hair Allah writes one hasana, وَمَحَ عَنْهُ بِكُلِّ شَعْرَةٍ سَيِّئَةٍ. And Allah removes, erases for each hair, Allah removes one sin. وَرَفَعَ لَهُ بِكُلِّ شَعْرَةٍ دَرَجَةٍ. And Allah raises his level for one, every hair. So if you let just, it's like you rub the hair at the hand over the hair of a child, 10,000 hair, for example, you get the darajat, raf'ud darajat, 10,000 levels in the paradise. So, and he brought his sababa wal wusta, his index finger and the middle finger, close to each other. And then the Prophet said, ana wa kafil al yatim kahatain fil jannah idha taqallah. Me and the caretaker, sponsor of an orphan, are like this in paradise. That means he'll be that close to the Holy Prophet in paradise, idha taqallah, if he had taqwa of Allah. So if we have taqwa of Allah, we will be that close, and we, you know, sponsor one orphan child, you know, it takes $50. And so many orphan children are in very poor condition. It's a matter of how much ahamiyat and importance we hold for our mu'min brothers and sisters. So many shuhada, is that right? There's so many shuhada and innocent civilians who are becoming shaheed every now and then. And this is not a difficult task for anyone to handle. This is something which is just, it takes an importance in how much we hold importance for that. So Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salatu wa salam says, إِذَا بَكَ الْيَتِيمُ اِهْتَزَّ لَهُ الْعَرْشِ. When a yatim child cries, the arsh, that means arsh of Allah, is shaken. And this is very understandable. Obviously, yatim child maybe wakes up 2 a.m., he has no father. Just imagine you, you know, if I die and I cannot take care of my children, you know, the way I so much love my children, and then there's no one to replace me. So the orphan who wakes up in the middle of the night and he remembers his father, if you are ready to take care of one orphan child, how much mahbub is that? And that Imam alayhi salam, what he says, when an orphan cries, arsh is shaken. That means the throne of Allah is shaken. فَيَقُولُ اللَّهُ تَبَارَكَ وَتَعَالَى. Allah says, مَنْ هَذَا الَّذِي أَبْكَى عَبْدِي الَّذِي سَلَبْتُ أَبَوَيْهِ فِي صِغَرِهِ. Who is the one who made this child, my servant, you know, cry, whose parents I have taken away in his childhood? فَعِزَّتِي وَجَلَالِي. I swear to my Izzat and Jalal, my honor and majesty, وَالْتِفَاعِ فِي مَكَانِي, and my highness of the status, لَا يُسْكِنُهُ عَبْدٌ مُؤْمِنٌ إِلَّا وَجَبَتْ لَهُ الْجَنَّةِ. There is no mu'min person who gives him a place to live except that Jannat is wajib for him. أَرْبَعٌ مَنْ كُنَّ فِيهِ. And there is another narration that tells us that أَرْبَعٌ مَنْ كُنَّ فِيهِ بَنَ اللَّهُ لَهُ بَيْتًا فِي الْجَنَّةِ. Anyone who has four things, Allah constructs a house for him in paradise. If you have these four things in you, Allah constructs a house for you in the paradise. مَنْ آوَى يَتِيمًا. آوَى الْيَتِيمِ. The first thing is that whoever gives refuge to a yatim. If you provide refuge, you provide a place of residence where he can protect his izzat and sharaf. He is not on the streets, so nobody can insult him, nobody can harm him. Isn't it right? You provide him a refuge so he can live respectably, just like your son, you want to live respectably. So you consider, this is the imtihan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. See, Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam writes in his letter to Muawiyah that, لَسْنَ لِلدُّنْيَا خُلِقْنَا وَلَا بِالسَّعْيِ فِيهَا أُمَرْنَا وَإِنَّمَا خُلِقْنَا وَضِعْنَا فِيهَا لِنُبْتَلَى بِهَا. We are not created for dunya, وَلَا بِالسَّعْيِ فِيهَا أُمَرْنَا, nor are we commanded. That means Allah did not command us to do any effort for the sake of dunya. A mu'min performs the effort for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Isn't it right? For akhirat. وَلَا بِالسَّعْيِ فِيهَا أُمِرْنَا وَإِنَّمَا وَضَعْنَا فِيهَا إِنَّمَا وَضَعْنَا فِيهَا لِنُبْتَلَى بِهَا فَقَدْ ابْتَلَانِ اللَّهُ بِكَ وَابْتَلَاكَ بِي فَجَعَلَ أَحَدَنَا حُجَّةً عَلَى الْآخَرِ. So definitely Allah, you know, tested me through you, and tested you through me, and made both of us hujjat and evidence against each other. So a yatim child is also a hujjat of Allah against us, all of us. We claim that we love Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam. Okay, here is the maidan. Come forward. Let's show our love to Imam Ali. This is how we show, not by lisan. I can make so many claims in iddia. Al-Iman al-Iddi'ai wal-Iman al-Haqiqi. There's a difference between an Iman that I can claim and an Iman that is certified by my actions. So this is an imtihan of a mu'min who says that I love Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam. Okay, how much do we care about the aytam? So, أَرْبَعٌ مَنْ كُنَّ فِيهِ بَنَ اللَّهُ لَهُ بَيْتًا فِي الْجَنَّةِ مَنْ آوَى الْيَتِيمِ. The first thing is that there are people, there are old people, 75 years of old, the wife 72 years of old, and old man and woman living in huge $2.7 million house. Imagine how much importance we are giving for our lifestyle. How people have so many houses, there are people who have investment properties. If you don't know about tomorrow, isn't it right? Ayatullah Ni'matullah Jazairi, Muhaddis al-Jazairi Rahmatullah alayhi, very great Muhaddis of ours. He had amanat in his hand from somebody. I think 10,000 or something. And he went, this person was dying. He went on his, close to him in his deathbed, and asked him that you have 10,000 with me. If you allow me, let me spend it for some good Islamic purpose. He said, no. He didn't allow it. And he didn't allow and he died. How much we are attached with our money. You know, so we want to keep it for ourselves, keep it ourselves, and we don't know about tomorrow, we don't know about the next lamha, next moment of our life. You know, right? This is what shows how much, you know, Rasulullah gave the money to Salman and Abu Dharr, and on the next day they both are supposed to come back to Rasulullah to give the hisab. Salman goes on top and there's a stone in desert, is very hot, stone is burning, isn't it right? Salman al-Farisi rahmatullah alayhi wa salamullah alayhi, he goes over the stone, he stands for 1 second and he says anfaqtuhu fi sabilillah, and he gets down. He gives his hisab. And if the dirham, I spend it for the sake of Allah. That's it. And he gave the hisab. Abu Dharr went on the stone, and the stone is hot. And he started to explain, I had to buy something, which he was darurat, he needed something. In other words, he explained to the Prophet about what, and by the time he explained, his feet were burnt. This is every action of the Prophet is full of hikmatun ilahiyya. Isn't it? Everything that Prophet does and performs is full of wisdom. So fi halaliha hisab, wa fi haramiha iqab. This is how the dunya is. In the halal of dunya there is hisab, and in the haram of dunya there is punishment, leaving the wealth for the children, and children don't know about Allah and Ahlul Bayt. They are so much, the children are so much westernized, isn't it right? They just want, they don't even know, why do we believe in 12 Imams? What's the dalil? There are so many youth, I travel every week, I interact with our Shia, Mu'min youth, they don't know, why do we believe in 12 Imams? So why is this father and mother leaving all this wealth for the children? So they do what? What are they going to do with this wealth? They're going to serve Ahlul Bayt? They don't even know Ahlul Bayt properly. But this is how some people are. So, أَرْبَعٌ مَنْ كُنَّ فِيهِ بَنَ اللَّهُ لَهُ بَيْتًا فِي الْجَنَّةِ Four, that means in other words, four things found in whomsoever, Allah constructs a house for him in paradise. مَنْ آوَى الْيَتِيمِ So, whoever gives refuge to the yatim and orphan. Rasulullah is the kafil al-aytam, you know. He is the one who used to take care of every orphan, even the orphans of today. Because every mu'min till yawm al-qiyamah who is taking care of the orphan is because of the ta'leem of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He gets the sawab. Isn't it right? So Prophet is haqiqatan the kafil al-aytam. Amir al-Mumin alayhi salam is the kafil al-aytam. They get a Prophet in Ahlul Bayt, they get the sawab of every ibadat of every mu'min. So the second thing, wa rahimat da'if. So whoever has rahmat over the weak person. You know, when you find, you know, when there are conflicts taking place, niza, people go to the tahut court, isn't it right? No, we are muhibb of Ahlul Bayt, we love Ahlul Bayt. If you love Ahlul Bayt, then why do you go to kufr? يُرِدُونَ أَن يَتَحَاكَمُوا إِلَى التَّاغُوتِ وَقَدْ أُمِرُوا أَن يَكْفُرُوا بِهِ مُخَالَفَةُ النَّسِ Isn't it right? There are some people who violate Quran and then say, we love Ahlul Bayt. What is this? So, when you have a weak person, people find it easiest to do zulm on the da'if and weak person. That's the easiest target in the eyes of some people. Because a qawi, a strong person, they cannot do, isn't it? He is going to backfire. The weak person is the simplest. Look at what Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam says. إِيَّاكَ وَظُلْمَ مَنْ لَا يَجِدُ عَلَيْكَ نَاصِرًا إِلَّا اللَّهِ صدق الإمام الحسين عليه السلام. And Imam Hussain عليه السلام is warning, don't do the zulm on a person who finds no supporter other than Allah against you. Don't do zulm on the person who finds no helper other than Allah against you. That's the worst case, worst thing that can happen to a person, that Allah becomes our enemy. Isn't it right? So, but this is what some people think is the easiest thing to do. Isn't it right? So doing zulm on a da'if and weak person. So whoever has rahm over the da'if, Allah constructs, also has the rahm over the da'if. This is the second thing. Among the four, Allah constructs a house for him in paradise. وَأَشْفَقَ عَلَىٰ وَالِدَيْهِ. The third thing that Rasulullah said, that he has shafaqat over the walidain. If a son or daughter looks with rahmat on the face of the father, it is ibadat. النَظَرُ إِلَىٰ وَجْهِ الْوَالِدَيْنِ. Looking at the face of the parents with ra'fat, with rahmat, is ibadat in Islam. So if you know, doing mercy towards the... So if your parents are doing good behavior towards you, if you do good, it's not a big deal. But if your parents are doing bad behavior towards you, then if you do good, this is what is a big deal. If they are doing good behavior, everyone does, even a mushrik person in any street in the world, you go anywhere, and even a kafir person, if you smile, he will also smile towards you. That's not a big deal if you do good behavior towards your parents, because they are behaving good towards you. So what? You didn't do a big thing. The big thing is that if your parents are misbehaving towards you, and then you do shafqat towards them. This is the imtihan of the nafs of the person. وَأَشْفَقَ عَلَىٰ وَالِدَيْهِ وَرَفَقَ بِمَمْلُوكِهِ. And a person who has rifq and softness towards his mamluk, means the slave. So we find اَرْحَمْ مَنْ دُونَكَ يَرْحَمُكَ مَنْ فَوْقَكَ. So you have rahmat on those who are under you, and those who are above you will have rahmat upon you. So basically that's the way it works. Now let's move forward. Before I come to the end, I still have 5 minutes in my time. So there, what are the mawane? Why people are mahroom? Why are the people mahroom and deprived from the rahmat of Allah? We are talking about the concept of rahmat in Islam. Why are some people mahroom and deprived from rahmat? So, there are two reasons that our scholars of akhlaq have mentioned about a person becoming mahroom and mamnu' and deprived from Allah's rahmat. First is رَحْمَةُ مَنْ لَا يُرْحَمْ تَمْنَعُ الرَّحْمَةِ. The hadith of Amir Mumin alayhi salam says رَحْمَةُ مَنْ لَا يُرْحَمْ تَمْنَعُ الرَّحْمَةِ. That means we learn in the light of this hadith, you having rahmat and mercy on the person who does not deserve to get the mercy. That means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, according to the principles and values of Allah, this person does not deserve. If you start having mercy on the one who doesn't deserve, you know, this is what is going to block the rahmat coming towards you. رَحْمَةُ مَنْ لَا يُرْحَمْ تَمْنَعُ الرَّحْمَةِ وَاسْتِبْقَعُ مَنْ لَا يَتَّقِي تَهْلِكُ الْأُمَّةِ. So, that's another issue. So this is the first reason why we find the rahmat is blocked from coming. So people abuse the concept of rahmat. Let me put it in those words. Instead of understanding the concept of the rahmat of rahmaniyat, and rahmat of rahimiyat of Allah, isn't it right? Allah is not providing is the rahmat of rahimiyat towards the enemies of Allah, isn't it right? So let us understand the concept difference between rahmat of rahmaniyat and rahmat of rahimiyat. Let us understand it so we can apply it and we can become mazhar and reflection of the sifat and akhlaq of Allah. What Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam had said, takhallaku bi akhlaqillah. And the second reason which is mentioned as the mani', as the thing that blocks the rahmat is man la yarhamu an-nasa mana'ahu Allahu rahmatahu. Somebody who doesn't have rahmat on the people, Allah, you know, doesn't have mercy, Allah blocks him from his mercy. So if we don't do the rahmat on the people, we ourselves don't deserve to get the rahmat from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina Muhammadin wa alihi at-tahirin. We have several more things about the concept, inshallah. If Allah allows, we can continue it, inshallah, in the next lesson about that. So this concept is completed. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Ya Allah, 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 ya Allah. Allahumma ansur al-Islam wal-Muslimin, wakhzul al-Kuffar wal-Munafiqin. اللهم انصر من نصر الدين واخذل من خذل المسلمين اللهم انصر واحفظ وأيد علماءنا الربانيين ومراجعنا الربانيين لا سيما الولي الفقيه قائد المسلمين اللهم انصر جيوش المسلمين وعساكر الموحدين اللهم فك عن الأسراء المسلمين اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى وعجل في فرج مولانا صاحب الزمان واجعلنا من أنصاره وأشياعه وأتباعه وأعوانه بجاه محمد وآله الطاهرين